Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today, the Holy Christian Church celebrates the Epiphany of our Lord. That is, the Epiphany season is about the revelation, revealing something about Jesus, particularly that he is true God. Those texts throughout this season will emphasize this, just as much as the Christmas season's texts emphasize Jesus being born as true man, one of us, assuming into his divinity our humanity. But of course, as all the seasons of the church year go, Jesus is both still true God and true man, and that cannot be separated ever again, thanks to Christmas. So we come today to that familiar story of the wise men, as the English Standard Version calls them, or the Magi. I usually prefer the term Magi because it is a technical term given to them by the Holy Spirit through Matthew. Magi is a term from the East. It's of Persian or Babylonian descent or origin. It's a magician, a sorcerer, a theologian, astrologer, and a witch, all lined up into one, Magi. It is certainly not a king, and well, there is nothing in the text to point them to be being overly wise, but in fact, they are pagan idolaters from a foreign land. It's important to realize as they see a star and end up on Herod's doorstep. Herod, of course, is not a good man. He's not a good ruler. He worships the true God only when it's politically beneficial to him. In fact, he's a madman, bent on power at any cost, because he was not born king of the Jews. He took the throne for himself. Pagan mystics showing up on his doorstep would not be anything newsworthy until they mention they are there to find the newborn king of the Jews. Then, of course, Herod gets very piously concerned, but he's only concerned about his power. These pagan mystics, the Magi, if they had gone that day, instead of to the palace of Herod, if they'd gone that day to the gates of the temple and tried to gain access to the temple that day, they would have been killed for trying to enter. They were regarded as gross idolaters, knowing nothing of the true God. That may be true until Epiphany comes to them. That then they see the revelation of just who it is in front of them, flesh and blood, God himself, confirming the Old Testament writings that they had studied, who then receives their worship and their gifts. Epiphany is often referred to as a Gentile Christmas. That Christmas time brought all the good news to this lowly, common, ordinary Jewish shepherds in the fields, some of the least notable of Jewish society and vocations, only to be topped then later in Jesus' ministry by the sinners and tax collectors who would be regarded as even lower. But all of them gathered to Christ. And from shepherds then, of Christmas, the Jewish shepherds, we move on to these Magi, some of the worst pagan Gentiles. They are not just ignorant men, but they've lived their lives so far willfully ignorant in serving foreign kings, foreign religions of all shapes and varieties, and foreign gods. By all accounts, especially that of the first three commandments, they would be considered horrible sinners. So when these horrible sinners show up in Jerusalem, speaking of a star and a new king, Jerusalem gets nervous. For one, any, of course, threat to Herod's rule would, of course, bring Herod's paranoid wrath. No one would ever want to be considered a threat to Herod. And the chief priests and the scribes are concerned as well. If all of this happened, there is indeed a newborn king of the Jews born in Bethlehem. If that has happened, they missed it. The moment that all of the Old Testament scriptures pointed to had come, and passed. And these great ones, the scribes and the priests and so forth, didn't even catch it. Now that is, of course, way too much for their pride. Way too much for them who prided themselves on their religious leadership and knowledge of the scriptures. Much less, then, it is way too much for them to be told the news of the newborn babe of Bethlehem, the ruler who is to come, to be told that by pagan mystics. That those magi weren't of any tribe that they knew of. They were not of God's chosen people, led out of Israel, given the Ten Commandments, ruled over by King David himself, served by the prophets, and so forth. These magi are foreigners. They're horrible sinners. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. How does he make sure that the magi make it to him? The same way that they knew to seek him out from the star. He had sent them his word. The scribes that they consult with Herod and so forth, they knew the text and they told the magi and Herod all about them, quoting from the book of the prophet Micah about how a new ruler will come from Bethlehem. That no matter what the magi knew before or how they knew it before, probably from some remnant of the scriptures that had been left there in Babylon after the captivity of the Jews there, they now had the firm word of God concerning this new ruler and where he would be born. No matter what natural or miraculous thing was going on with the star as it continued to shine and point them the way to the house where the child and his mother Mary would be found, they now had, of course, a Christ revealed in the scriptures, which is something nature cannot do. Herod, not willing to believe it, turns the magi secretly and turns them into spies for him. Because in his mind, he will deal with this threat to his reign, to his fake and diminishing throne if he needs to. And murder is certainly not outside of his kingly tools, as we heard on Sunday. But the kingly tools of this Christ child are greater than Herod's. As we heard on Sunday, when he went into Egypt, he stayed there until Herod died. That God was greater than Herod, and God called Herod into death. Where Herod's swords could not change a thing of what God had set in motion in the fullness of time, Christ Jesus was born to use a whole different set of tools, not known or not regarded by earthly kings. Tools like weakness, suffering, prayers, poverty, words. And this Christ child would use all of those tools for the benefit of the whole world. This is why it's the Gentile Christmas, is that Jesus is born not just for Jews, but for Gentiles also. Jesus is born for pagan mystics like the Magi. He receives their worship. He is born for the worst idolaters that this earth and the sinful nature can come up with. He is born as a temple made of flesh for men who would have been killed on sight for trying to enter the temple made of stones. He is born and lives and breathes for them. And he uses his word to gather them unto himself, just as a child still in Bethlehem. He's still doing this. And their reaction upon seeing that star and coming to that house and seeing the child and so forth, they have great joy which expresses itself in worship and the giving of gifts. That having Christ revealed to you will bring you great joy. And even more so, if you have spent your life seeking after other gods, serving them, demeaning yourself for them, whatever is necessary, that these magi react by worship. True worship and gifts, true good works, actions of faith, which had been wrought by the Spirit and the Word. This is the Gentile Christmas. You're Gentiles, but Christ Jesus is for you. I don't care what you think you have or have not done to make God mad, what evil things that have lurked in your hearts, what evil things have streamed through your minds, what evil actions have even been found out of those things through your bodies unto others. Jesus Christ is your God, and He is a God who saves even horrible sinners. He was born for the pagan magi who had previously bowed down and worshipped all sorts of idols and false gods, and so also He's been born for you. For no matter the false worship you've done in your past, whether it's to serve other religions or whatever, or if it's to serve the more familiar god of yourself, or your pleasures, or mammon, or greed, or pride, or lust, Jesus calls you to Him through His Word. And His Word is never empty of the Word and the power of the cross. Because this Christ child born for you suffered and died for you also, escaping this Herod, Herod the Great supposedly's wickedness, for a time, that some 30 years later, he would be sacrificed by a Roman governor named Pilate, and also chief priests and scribes, and a different Herod, who had the same family's evil spirit. And then to prove it all, that he is Savior and he is God, this Christ child suffered and died, and he was really dead, but then rose for you. That this Christ child conquered even the most final thing for humanity, the final enemy, as it's called, death itself. The Magi, they show us God's remarkable, unlimited love for all humanity. This means His remarkable love, His unlimited love for you and the people sitting next to you tonight. It means the spouse that God has given you, the co-worker that He has put working alongside of you, the boss that He has put over you in authority, the teacher He's placed into your life to teach you those tools to love your neighbor, the stranger at the store, the neighbor whose sins are the talk of the town, the agnostic family member, the atheistic God-hater, the pro-vaxxer, the anti-vaxxer, the ones who differ with you on all sorts of opinions of this earthly life. Jesus Christ was born for them. And through His Word, He will gather them to Himself. The Word which you have heard this night, the Word which is a part of your daily lives through your devotionals and your family altar time, the Word that is a tool that He will use to draw all sinners unto Himself, as the Word speaks of course, Christ being lifted up, crucified. And as He has drawn you by His Word, so He will also use the same Word to draw them, possibly through your speaking of it. Merry Christmas. Christ Jesus has been born for you, Gentiles. Your guilt and your shame do not matter anymore. For the one who drew the Magi to Himself, received their worship and their gifts, gave them the epiphany through His Word, He's also given you this epiphany. That He, God in the flesh, your brother, has come to save you. And He has done it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.